someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
He's one of the foremost specialists in organ transplant medicine in the nation. He has encouraged African Americans to become life-saving donors, even as he fought the cultural taboos. Now the transplant organization he founded is turning 25. The demand for its services is very high, and the number of donors continues to multiply. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is Howard University Professor of Surgery and pioneering transplant surgeon, Dr. Clive Callender. Welcome.
Thank you for letting me join you.
So you have founded MOTEP. Tell us exactly what MOTEP stands for, not just the acronym MOTEP, but also what it has stood for in terms of organ transplantation.
Well, MOTEP has stood for increasing the number of donors and participants in renal transplantation of the African American and other minority communities. We've been very blessed, and then actually it all started at Howard University with a donation of $500 from the administration. And the culmination of it has been that we've gone from African Americans donating at the rate of 3% of donors. Now we're more than 9% of the population, and more than 32% of the donors are African Americans. So we've come a long way. Minorities were thought first not to donate, but intensive efforts on a part of educating communities and empowering communities has led to a dramatic breakthrough where we've come from the bottom, the very bottom of the list, until now when most recent UNOS data indicates African Americans are the number one organ donor per million in the United States of America.
And UNOS stands for?
The United Nation for Organ Sharing, United Network for Organ Sharing. It is the organization that is responsible for transplantation in the United States of America.
Now, the National Minority Organ Tissue Transplant Education Program, MOTEP, that was founded in 1991. When you founded it initially, as you said, the statistics obviously warranted that. But what were some of the biggest obstacles then to transplantation? And then contrast that with today, what are some of the biggest obstacles in terms of donations?
The biggest obstacle then was education and empowerment. The fact that the minority community, African Americans in particular, weren't aware that they were so in dramatic need and desperate need of transplants. That was number one. The second was religious myths and misperceptions. Concerned that in that great getting up morning when you go to the pearly gates, you won't have your organs, you won't have your eyes, you won't be able to see great grandmama in the hereafter, and you won't have the body parts that you need. So that religious myths and misperceptions, we recognized that and then educated our communities to understand that it is the right and religious and proper thing to do, to give organs to save others so they have a second chance at life. The third had to do with the fear that we'd be used as guinea pigs again. The Tuskegee incident was foremost in our minorities' minds. And so we had to overcome that by educating and having people like you and Lou Sullivan and others in positions of importance, like the president, who now we can now can feel a little less fear of being used as a guinea pig. That was the third obstacle. The fourth was the fear that if I give an organ, they would only go to whites. While at Howard University, 80% of the organs that we used at our transplant center initially were from whites. Of course, by the time in 2000, we were about 70% of our organs were from blacks, so we'd come a long way. The fourth one was a fear that if I sign a donor card and go to the hospital, they might just be more interested in getting my organs and tissues than with saving their lives. And so we had to overcome this by going into the community, educating and empowering the community to address those five obstacles. Currently, in answer to your question, The biggest obstacle is getting finances to be able to go into the community to educate and empower. We've seen some interesting results with the African-American community leading the way, which is strange for many people to recognize. But the other ethnic groups, the Caucasian, the whites, the Latino Hispanics going down. And I think one of the things, greatest obstacles we have to overcome is to get financial support so we can do the same community education and empowerment that we do in the African American community, the Latino Hispanic community, and the white community as well.
Now, looking at the landscape of transplantation, especially given some of the advancements that have been made with medications, avoiding rejection of the organs, et cetera, today compared to back in 1991 when you started this, one of the things that I think was also a concern for people is how long would these organs last? And is this really going to be a treasured gift that someone has? What is the average lifespan? And I know you have different categories of, for instance, with kidney donors, you may have a deceased donor versus a live donor. But what on average now are the lengths of time that transplanted organs last?
It's interesting that you would ask that question because it's different for each ethnic group. For Asians who have the best survival, we're talking about 15 years. Mm. For African Americans who have the lowest survival, we're talking about 7 years. So that's the span that we're talking about.
But why such a major difference based on ethnic groups?
If only I could give you the answer to that question. And I spent most of my career, which is now close to 50 years, trying to get an answer to that question. We don't really know the answer, although the social determinants of health, which we often refer to as institutionalized racism, play a major part in this. But they have that has not really been studied enough to say. It's not that we haven't probed, but we haven't found the answer.
Well, I'm going to probe a little more. What is the number one indication for kidney transplantation in Asian Americans in terms of the diagnosis that leads to them needing a kidney versus that in African Americans?
Well, the number one problem in both ethnic groups is actually still diabetes. Okay. Hypertension is second for African Americans, but there are other causes for the Asians. But diabetes is still number one.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Clive Callender, professor in the Department of Surgery at Howard University Hospital and head of MOTEP. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. I want to switch gears a little bit. You obviously have looked at this problem from the perspective of increasing minority organ transplant donation. But what are some of the barriers, as you mentioned, in terms of finances? What are some of the things or the factors, I should say, that are causing Caucasians and Asians to donate less? That was not a significant problem back in 1991 when you started this organization, but obviously it's a huge issue now.
I think that the move from community education and empowerment to social media has been something that was thought of as a panacea. But that alone is not the answer. And I believe that we need to do both things together, social media plus community education and empowerment. And that is my quest.
Now, I guess another question with respect to that in particular, African-Americans are, by percentage, are probably some of the largest consumers by demographic of social media. So do you think that some of the increase that you've seen in the donation rate of African-Americans has come from that, and maybe the lack of the same type of percentage of use of social media by whites and Asians is responsible for that declining amount of donations?
Well, it's an interesting data that you report, because we looked at a survey that looked at a number of ethnic groups that use social media. And the group that used it the least was the Latino, Hispanic, and the African American. However, we're talking about 16%. So that means 84% are using it.
Right.
But it still was less than the other ethnic groups. So I think that there is a segment of the African-American community and Latino Hispanic community and some whites that don't have access to the media. And those people are left out. And I think that those people, since they're left out of the social media, they also don't have the community education and empowerment to overcome that. And as a consequence, I think that that plays a major factor. So I think it's the combination of the two that becomes important, the social media plus the community education and empowerment. And I think one without the other is not enough.
Where is transplantation heading?
We're heading towards xenotransplantation and regenerative medicine. It's clear to me that we will never have the number of human donors adequate to meet the needs. We have 130,000 on the waiting list. Only 30,000 get transplanted every year. So we're not going to have enough human donors. Xenotransplantation is getting closer and closer. Regenerative medicine with stem cell and growing organs is getting closer and closer.
And when you say xenotransplantation, describe exactly what that
means.
Thank
you. Getting organs from pigs apes and those kind of things. And we believe that the pig is the role model that will be used for transplantation between species. The pig is the model that we've used for other things. We've eaten pigs, and we've had pig tissues in our bodies for decades, if not centuries. And so we think that pig transplantation with hearts, kidneys, livers, lungs may well be the answer. That combined with the stem cell and regenerative medicine, to me, are the future of transplantation.
Now, with regenerative medicine, the ability to grow organs with the specific size that you need, the function, et cetera, where on the spectrum of our capacity to do that are we?
We've come a long way. For example, there's a new technique that takes the human organ and decellularizes it. So you just have the framework. You could then get the tissues from a human and put those tissues back on, and then you would overcome the problem of rejection as well as the size of the organ. So that's where regenerative stem cell medicine and xenotransplantation can work together. You could get an organ and then replace it with human tissues on that organ, and that could give you a successful transplant without the issue of transplant rejection.
Now, I'm gonna ask you a different type of question. Your spirituality intersects with your practice of medicine and surgery in a way that I think is extremely unique. And when you look at this particular issue of organ transplant, the MOTEP organization, how does your spirituality impact what it is you've done and your optimism about the future?
Well, I would say that MOTEP is a miracle itself. The fact that I've lived to see us go from the journey from the bottom to the top, it's a miracle. And I think all of this, for example, if you ask me, the sentence that would be most important in terms of this would be Psalms 115:1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give the glory. Because I think that the fact that I'm alive today, and as I approach my 80th birthday and my 25th MOTEP anniversary, I think this is all to the glory of God.
So tell us how we can donate and support MOTEP.
MOTEP is at a point where if you call 202-865-4888, 202-865-4888, you get the information necessary. So you're able to donate, whether it's finances or other things. Right now, we are looking for financial support, whether the gift is great or small. But it's 202-865-4888 for MOTEP to participate in the gala that celebrates the 25th anniversary of MOTEP, the creation of which has made a difference in minority transplantation today.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Clive Callender, professor of surgery and the head of MOTEP. MOTEP is celebrating its 25th anniversary. You can donate to MOTEP by calling 202-865-4888. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.
This This is Harold Fisher. The Daily Drum is more than news, sports, and weather. It's information, conversation, edification. I talk to the newsmakers and other great guests that make you think. You're not just listening. You are part of the process with your phone calls. You can find me on Facebook/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Join me, Harold Fisher, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. for the Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR, the Adult Mix.